This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Hello and welcome to Well, Well, Well. It's Jason Adam with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council / Gay Men's Health Centre. So thanks to Doug and the Rainbow Report team for another great show. Welcome, Jason. How are you today?
I'm well. I always love hearing the / being pronounced in our organisation's name. It's lovely.
Well, I think, you know, there's an emphasis on the / when it's written, so there should be an emphasis on the / when it's said.
Do you speak commas and full stops out loud? Semicolons? Hashes?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Do you not know me by now? Of course.
What have we got on the show this week?
Well, tonight on the show, we'll be chatting with Guy Hussey from Living Positive Victoria about a new workshop called Hope, comma. Soon we'll be covering some health news, comma. Nah, plus a few news snippets and things, just the usual rundown, basically.
Full stop.
Yes, but we do love to hear from our listener, Jason. So how can they get in contact with us?
Oh, there's a range of ways. The best ways are to speak with us directly in studio, and you can do so by sending us an email to onair@joy.org.au or SMS 0427JOY949. And you can also keep in touch with us between shows by liking us on Facebook. And that's facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy.
That is true. Many, many ways. But I have been lucky enough to select the music.
And let me guess, what are we going to be listening to this time?
First, we're going to be listening to Adele. And this is Turning Tables.
Before we get into that, did she slip her baby's name out?
She was wearing a necklace when she was performing, or when she was going to the Golden Globes. And for the life of me, I can't remember what
it is. Roberto.
It was Roberto. It was.
Go. And what do you think?
I am neither for it nor against it.
Ambivalent.
Yes, ambivalent.
Disappointing. This is it. Turn the tables.
Close enough to start a war.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and that was just such a beautiful song. Jason, you were singing along to it. Not very well, I might add.
Oh, is this how the show's going to go?
I think so.
Remember, I'm the one who can turn your mic on when you're singing during the breaks.
Yeah, but I actually don't sing. Like, I'll hum along, I actually won't, like, fully belt out a tune.
Just because you're not singing well doesn't mean it's not singing.
Whatever. Anywho, this is the time of the show where we like to
bag each other out.
Well, actually, that's the entire show. No, where we like to change tracks, ruffle some papers.
It's a bit offensive.
How it's
gentle.
Oh, sorry, Naomi Robson. But you found the article this week, Jason, and pray tell, what is it about?
I did, and regular listeners of Well, Well, Well would be aware that we've often been talking about some advances in the area of biomedical prevention, which is looking at the use of medicines to assist in preventing HIV transmission. And one of the big areas of interest right now is using treatment as prevention, and whether early treatment and bringing an individual's viral load down to an undetectable level has an impact on their ability to transmit the virus. Mm-hmm. And the evidence that we've seen so far has been really, really exciting. But the big question has been around a lack of clarity as to whether or not someone's undetectable viral load in their blood would constantly match either seminal viral load, so the amount of HIV virus in someone's semen, or genital fluids. Mm-hmm. There was an article in AIDS Map that was all about a research study that was done in Canada that showed some positive signs.
Yeah, very much so. I guess, obviously, we do bang on about viral load, but I guess in most of the research that we've got out there in relation to viral load in terms of blood measures says that an undetectable level is shown to reduce the risk of transmission up to 96%. So I think now more research reports are focusing on that, I guess, that more clarity around whether the reduction in viral load actually translates into a reduction in viral load in different bodily fluids that are exchanged during sex.
So this study that was done in Toronto looked at what impact an intensive antiretroviral treatment combination had on viral load in semen among men. So it was a study that was done over 2 years and looked at, it was only a small sample size of 13 gay men. And they started HIV treatment at the beginning of the study, so they hadn't been on any antiretroviral treatment before then. And they basically collected blood and semen samples over the course of the 2 years and compared them.
Well, they also compared them to 25 other people who weren't on the intensified antiretroviral treatment and was just on the usual antiretroviral three-drug combination therapy.
Yeah, and those 25 were men that were... so they're just on a standard triple drug therapy.
Yeah, exactly. So they could actually see whether the intensified aspect of antiretroviral treatment actually had an impact on seminal HIV fluid.
Exactly. And so the intensive treatment was... adding maraviroc and raltegravir to the standard three-drug.
What did they find?
Well, essentially, that it had a substantial effect on suppressing viral levels in seminal fluid and semen. And what they found is that when they obtained samples from men who had been on long-term standard treatment, that was low as well. So I think what we're seeing essentially is that there's, with time, growing evidence to support what we all kind of assume to be true, is that early treatment will have an impact on onward transmission within the community.
Exactly. And I guess because most of the research has obviously been on blood levels or blood viral load levels, that it's actually very interesting to get a piece of research that, even though it's not a large sample size, it's a long sample in terms of it was over 2 years, that it's actually sort of, I guess, really encouraging evidence that more research around this should be done to sort of, I guess, build more of an evidence base so that we can actually put forward a bit more of a... what's the word?
I don't know. Finish the sentence.
If I knew the word, I probably would. I guess just more of a concerted effort to sort of say, well, this is what actually will happen if there is intensified antiretroviral treatment in terms of it being more beneficial in terms of reducing HIV transmission or acquisition.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of treatment, that a lot we know quite well that they've come a long way, and that starting early treatment also has... the potential for health benefits for the individual living with HIV as well, as it can just having HIV in the body without treatment can have the virus attacking parts of the body.
Exactly. And
I feel like I'm rambling now.
Yeah, you are, just a little bit. I guess another thing that to point out was the fact that the people who were on the intensified antiretroviral treatment also had generally high levels of CD4 count throughout the actual 2 years of the study. Mm-hmm. But obviously it's a pretty, I think, groundbreaking study, just in the respect that we don't often come across studies like this. So if you are interested, get onto AIDSMAP .org.com.
Or as always, we'll put up the link to the news article on our Facebook page, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy.
And this is Well 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 on Joy 94.9. This is Well 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 on Joy 94.9. And joining Jason and I this evening in the studio is Guy Hussey from Living Positive Victoria. So good evening, Guy, and welcome back to Well Well Well. You're obviously not a first-time interviewee.
No, I'm not.
which is a good thing. It's a good thing. We'd love to have you on. But obviously, some people might not have heard you when you've been on previously. So obviously, can you just share with the listener a little bit about yourself and what you've done work-wise?
I've long-term involved in the sector, and that is sort of both the HIV and PLHIV sector. Activist by heart, professional by nature, gay by profession, queer by... I've never actually been asked this question on air before, so I don't know what to sort of say in here. I love my coffee.
Well, that's awesome. Well, I guess you mentioned that you're actually working for Living Positive Victoria. So if anyone doesn't know what Living Positive Victoria is, maybe can you just share with them just a brief sort of overview of what Living Positive Victoria is?
Sure. Without using the name of the organisation again too many times, I'll try and do that. You boys are on a roll tonight.
Oh, yeah.
The organisation is the peak body for people living with HIV within Victoria. I'm big on the ums. It's catching.
Blame Adam, I do.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, is it more of an advocacy group or organisation, or is it more of sort of ground level work?
But I guess it's also a fairly new, it's a new sounding organisation.
It is. It does sound like a brand new organisation. We were formerly known as People Living with HIV/AIDS Victoria, and we went with a rebrand after the AGM last year. So we are now Living Positive Victoria. So it is a organisation that, by and large, is there to promote, represent, advocate on behalf of people living with HIV. And a lot of the activities of the organisation are focused around health promotion, mm-hmm. So ensuring quality of life for people living with HIV.
And what's your role within the organisation?
I have a spectacular title. I am the Senior Programs and Policy Officer with the organisation.
Damn.
What does that mean?
It means a whole lot of fun work and activities associated with. So it means I do lots of things within the organisation.
Many hats.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we're going to listen to a little bit of Duffy, if you don't mind.
Oh, fine.
And when we come back, we'll be chatting to you about one of those such hats that you wear.
No worries.
All right. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And if you've just joined us, we're chatting with Guy Hussey from Living Positive Victoria. And that's Living Positive Victoria. I was heckled during that song about how many times I'd said it, but I was just helping with the rebranding.
Thank you.
You actually heckled yourself during the previous segment. So really, you just opened the door for us.
That is true. But obviously, we're not here to chat just about Living Positive Victoria. But there's a new program that we've come across through your organisation, and it's called HOPE. And I guess because everything that's new that comes out, we'd like to sort of give it a bit of a plug, mm-hmm. and sort of see what it's all about. And it's called HOPE. So basically, what's HOPE?
What's HOPE? Well, I will just correct you on one thing there, Adam, just in the spirit of tonight's show. It's a new program for 2013.
Yep.
We ran the first PLHIV specific HOPE program in 2002. HOPE stands for the Health Optimization Program Prior to Employment, essentially. So it's a program for people who are living with a mental health condition. Mm-hmm. And it's an evidence-based program. And it really takes a sort of really a grounded sort of common sense approach to life and how a person can actually structure their life so that there's not too much sort of excess stress or unexpected stress that can actually come in and further affect that person's mental health. And I should say, just to cut Adam off again before he was about to say something.
I'm leaving the studio.
That you know, we wouldn't be able to, wouldn't be in a position to run HOPE without Social Firms Australia, brilliant firm operating across in Fitzroy. This is their program. So they've been sort of outrunning HOPE programs across both Melbourne and sort of up Bendigo way for people that have just been living with a mental health condition. So, you know, it's a brilliant organisation and it operates on the premise of social firms. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of what they are.
Maybe tell us a little bit more about it for the listener that maybe is not aware.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's the term social enterprise is banged around there quite a bit. And in the scheme of things, a social enterprise is a good thing. A social firm, however, is a firm that is set up specifically and it actually has a ratio balance, so it must employ, and I can't come up with the percentage of employers off the top of my head after saying that, who are either living with a mental or physical disability. And the notion is that all of the profits from that business, the social firm, actually go back into the social firm around training and creating more jobs for people to come in and be employed at.
Fantastic. And you said that it was about people with mental health issues or had experience, but is there a criteria in relation to what type of mental health issues people would need to have had or experienced to actually participate?
Not really. I mean, anyone who has, you know, gone through the process of being challenged by a diagnosis around any mental health condition can sort of apply to participate in a HOPE program, and they are still sort of, social firms are running them. We've just sort of picked this one up and made it a PLHIV specific one, and yeah, so I guess the only one, and there's quite a distinction and still sort of challenges around sort of a mental health condition, so what would sit outside of that would be like an acquired brain injury, for example, because that is a whole different sort of wasn't going to say kettle of fish, but I've said it anyway. A whole different sort of distinction in that. So, yeah. You know, the most common ones are people living with schizophrenia, bipolar, depression, anxiety, things like that. And, you know, quite literally it has reached a point in their lives where it has restricted their quality of life.
Now, what was the impetus behind this group forming at Living Positive Victoria?
Okay. Well, I can go a bit personal on that one. I myself actually participated in a HOPE program through Social Firms Australia probably about 4 years ago, and it was the whole reason why I was able to actually get back into full-time employment, because I'd been sort of living with clinical depression for probably about 3.5-4 years and completely outside of the workforce, had lost all structure and sort of meaning of life. And it was really me coming back into Living Positive Victoria and thinking, you know, this is a program that, and I should say I then went on to work for social firms and facilitate in a peer role the HOPE programs. And I thought, you know, this is actually a great program. It works. It's evidence-based. And some of the journeys that you're able to actually see participants start from and then finish at were incredible. As we know, people living with HIV, it's been cited in research. You know, if we go back to Future Six, there was an incredible amount of people, and hopefully the listener may be aware that Futures is a national survey for people living with HIV. And within that, it acknowledged that there had been a huge proportion of the sample that had been diagnosed with a mental health condition and, in fact, then gone on and been prescribed something for it. And it was an incredible percent compared to, and I have it here, 27% had been, of the sample, had been prescribed medication in relation to depression and anxiety, and that's in contrast to the National Health Survey out of ABS, where I think it was around about 5.9% had been prescribed with a something to treat a mental health condition. So the evidence, the research was all there to say this is something that we can actually sort of run with and run with for people living with HIV.
Fantastic. Well, this is a well on Joy 94.9. This is well on Joy 94.9, and we are chatting with Guy Hussey from Living Positive Victoria. Yes, that's right, people, Living Positive Victoria, about the new HOPE program that they're running. So, Guy, you were talking about, I guess, the discrepancy between what was reported in Futures in relation to people that had either been diagnosed or had prescription medication in terms of people living with HIV in comparison to the ABS study that's released, the households, I think it is. So do you think the issue of mental health extends further into the GLBTI community or just concerns people living with HIV?
I can't speak to any stats around that one, but I'm sure Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria have done their research, and I certainly know from sort of reading that in the past that people in general within the GLBTIQQ community, certainly there is evidence there to show or research there to show that people are more prone to, I guess, issues around anxiety, depression, things like that. So it's not a PLHIV-specific issue in that respect. And I guess, you know, where it sort of runs in line with HIV and more specifically people living with HIV is the stigma and discrimination still around mental health issues. Certainly I think we've come a far way in getting sort of some big organisations, Beyond Blue and things like that, on board. But, you know, it's still one of those that because it's not something that a person can physically see and therefore understand, it is largely hidden from the eye. You know, you might come across a person walking down the street who's having a bit of a chat with themselves, you know, or from time to time notice people moving away from a person who's having a chat with themselves on the tram, you know. And I guess there's that stigma and discrimination on that basis still around mental health, and we know that that's across the board for people living with HIV as well.
Now, getting back to the group specifically, is it just for people who, you know, for whatever reason, it may be because of their mental illness, are no longer employed, or is it also for people who are maybe struggling with work as a result of their mental illness?
It's for all of the above, to answer that very quickly. So it's for people who are wishing to put some other strategies in place for managing their own life. And essentially, that's what the group's really about. It's about empowering people to take some ownership back over their lives. Because as soon as people become involved in, you know, medical systems and things like that, you know, you do get to feel like a bit of a number. And you lose some integrity and your resilience to life just sort of disappears and trickles away through that process as well. So there are lots of stuff in it around that. So anyone who's looking to return to study and thinks, you know, I'm going to have a freak out, I don't think I can do that, it could be a perfect group for them to become involved in, because it's not a group about this is how you build an application for a job. It's really going back to even sort of pre, you know, going on seek to see what jobs are out there around preparing and what are the things support, what are the supports strategies that need to put in life to ensure that once I'm actually back studying or even going and volunteering, vocational training or people who are in part-time work and wanting to return to full-time work, it is the group for them in that respect. And, yeah, you know, if those people are also additionally living with HIV, our group is the one for them.
And so you mentioned that it was peer facilitated, but, I mean, how many sessions or how long does it go for and how long are the sessions? What are the more, I guess, logistical and tangible aspects?
Yeah, It is not like your sort of standard sort of 6-week group. It is a 10-session group that a person is making a commitment to sign up to. And those groups run for 2 hours, so it's not a huge brain drain in the sense of, you know, you get stuck in a classroom for 4 hours at a time sometimes and you just think, I want out of here. And there's a break within. But it does run for 9 successive weeks, and then there is a 2-week break, and we come back then and do a week 10, which is basically a booster session so people can come back and actually connect with those people that they have connected with during the group and say how they've actually found it since sort of finishing the HOPE program.
And in terms of those 10 sessions, what happens in a session, in a typical session? Is there a particular style or format?
Yeah, it's not sort of essentially a peer-to-peer group in the sense of getting people just to sort of sit around and talk. That certainly does form a good component of HOPE. But people are actually working through workbooks each week. So it is, you know, the framework for the evidence that is here now is essentially cognitive behavioural therapy. So people are working through exercises, and those exercises could be around setting, you know, a goal, but making that goal a smart goal, looking at scoping strategies, coping strategies, looking at how to identify when they might be actually dipping into a deeper sort of, you know, where they're more sort of prone or at risk of, you know, they sort of term it a relapse, so slipping back into old behaviours, old routines, or even just going back into, you know, the black dog sort of arrives at the front door. So Winston Churchill defined it as the black dog, and depression has been sort of with us in that respect ever since.
Well, this is Well on Joy 94.9, and this is Birdie with People Help to People. This is Well on Joy 94.9, and that was kind of poignant song, People Help the People, which is in HOPE, what people help the people. Anywho, nobody's laughing at my joke, so hopefully you're laughing out there. But we've had a couple of emails come through, haven't we, Jason?
We have indeed. We've had a few messages come through. One is from Tex, who's enjoying his night off and enjoying the fab chat.
I love it.
Thanks, Tex. And we've also had a message in from Feral Beryl.
Yay.
Do you want to read that one?
Yes, it says, a great show, guys. Very informative. I'm lucky. My psych meds are helping all my HIV levels, doctors, and Gara Maze. So I'm super healthy. That's fantastic.
Thanks, Feral.
We like that. So I guess in terms of the pragmatic and logistical aspects of the HOPE program, so where is it being run and what are the costs associated with it?
Huge costs, yeah. It's one of those programs that costs a buck or two. No, it doesn't even cost that. The cost is a cost of time, I guess, a cost of commitment, being prepared to sort of show up on a weekly basis for 9 sessions and then return for the booster. So it operates as nil cost to the participants. It's being run through Coventry House. So for people that are living with HIV and aren't aware, Coventry House is the building that houses all of Victoria's PLHIV organisations. So we have Living Positive Victoria there, Straight Arrows, and Positive Women Victoria, all co-located happily under the one roof.
And if... go ahead.
No, you go. I'll listen to a bang on.
Don't worry, I'm not going to say Living Positive Victoria about 5 times in my question. If people are listening and are keen to either find out more or get involved in the program, how can they go about doing so?
They can just pick up the phone and contact myself in relation to the PLHIV-specific HOPE program, which is running. And I'm not sure whether you're prepared to give the numbers or you'd like me to give them now.
Go right ahead. So
they can contact Living Positive Victoria on 9863 8733.
Excellent. And we'll be sure to put up the details to Living Positive Victoria on our Facebook page.
Yeah. And for other people in the audience, in listeners out there in the audience that we call the world, if they're interested, they can actually contact Social Firms Australia. So if they're not living with HIV, but do identify as living with a mental illness, and Social Firms can be contacted on 9445 0373, and someone there will be able to help them out with the HOPE program that may be running around their area.
Sweet. Well, thank you very much, Guy, for joining us this evening. Good to have
pleasure.
You back.
Thank you.
I'm sure we'll be joined again in the near future.
Yeah, we'll have to see how the program ran.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. And we'll get Tex on because this one...
No comment.
I literally am leaving the studio.
Well, that's perfect because we're about to go for a break and listen to some Delta Goodrum.
Oh, I love Delta.
What song is it?
It's In This Life, and it's live from the Australian tour. I bought the DVD.
Good on you.
Don't laugh at me. You got the Kylie Rae Jepsen album.
Yeah, you've got the poster in your cubicle, though.
You bought it.
Okay, I'm off.
Thank you so much, Guy. It's been an absolute delight.
Pleasure.
Joy 94.9.
This is Well on Joy 94.9. And yeah, that was Delta Goodrum, In This Life. You love that one. You were banging along to it, weren't you, Jason?
I wouldn't say that.
I would.
I'm interested to see what her performance is going to be like at the Mardi Gras party.
Oh, is she performing?
Yeah.
She's really good live.
But at the Mardi Gras party?
It's Delta Goodrum. And if you say one bad word about Delta...
Well, it is that time of the show when we like to talk about things that are happening in and around the community, whether it be workshops, programs, projects, whatnot. So feel free to grab a pen or an iPad, whatever you want. Take note. Take note, friends. Take note. Now, this is something that relates to our good friend Tex.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's listening to make sure that we're talking about it. But his outreach team are looking for more guys mm-hmm. to join them. And so there are a bunch of gay and bisexual guys who chat about sexual health, HIV, and other sex-related topics, either online in popular gay websites
mm-hmm.
Or in sex-on-premises venues. The training is going to be happening on the weekend of Saturday the 23rd and 24th of March. Any guys who are interested would need to be available to attend both of those days. And the commitment after you've gone through the training really can vary. I mean, you can do more shifts if you're interested, or if you want to do something along the lines of a shift a month, I think that's fine as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I think the minimum is one shift a month. Yeah. And obviously, if you do it online, you can actually do it from the comfortability of your own home, which makes it a fantastic way to actually volunteer and assist. And I've actually done the training, and it's really, really good. It's really informative. I learn a lot. And Tex is, if you think he's vocal when you're listening to him through the radio, just wait until you can see him visually with some hand movements and some gestures.
Exactly. I'm surprised our listeners can't hear the air kind of flying about the studio as he's... emoting, but it's a really interesting volunteer role. I used to do a similar job to Tex actually when I was in Toronto, and I'd go out and do some shifts, and it was always quite interesting to see the kinds of conversations that you'd have
mm-hmm.
with guys at the venues or even online. So if you're interested, you can contact Tex on 9865-6700 or go to vicaids.asn.au/outreach.
Fantastic. And another thing that has just sort of started about 3-4 weeks ago is Being Brendo.
Yay!
It's series 7.
It is.
And we've really come a long way.
It's hard to believe that back in 2010, when we were just trying this thing out, that it would still be going and be... a page that has, you know, more than 7,000 fans. It recently was accepted into the Los Angeles Web Series Festival.
Mm, fantastic.
Really exciting. So this week's episode saw the return of Jeffrey Rush as well.
Yay,
as one of our
Oscar winner.
Yeah, look at us. So he returns, as well as Jane Menelaus,
mm-hmm.
and all of our, you know, Judith, Lucy, and Denise Scott, good friends of ours.
Fabulous Adam Richard.
The fabulous Adam Richard is back. So if you haven't already checked it out, don't worry. You can still watch all the old episodes by just going to facebook.com/beingbrendo. Or if you're not a Facebook type of person, you can just go to youtube.com/beingbrendo, and all of the old series and the new episodes are there as well, with new episodes appearing every Wednesday.
Yes, fantastic. And Jason, would you believe that we've come to the end of the show?
You survived.
I know, I survived. I feel like I've got baby brain.
Oh, well, big thank you to Guy Hussey from Living Positive Victoria once again for coming on air. And if you want more information about the Hope Project, mm-hmm. you can go to livingpositivevictoria.org.au. Anyone you'd like to say hello to?
I'd like to say hi to my mum.
Oh, lovely.
She never listens, though. I don't know why I say hi to her all the time.
Well,
your mum listens, though, doesn't she?
No, she doesn't. She just likes the page and comments.
I'm sure she podcasts.
I don't think she knows how to podcast.
To everyone back in Canada.
Stop it.
They think I'm slowy.
Being offensive. Leading us out of the show this week is a little bit of Beyonce with Halo.
I was very inspired with her Super Bowl halftime
amazing.
Thing. It was really good, except for Michelle from Destiny's Child. I mean, really?
She got launched out. She looked so uncomfortable.
I thought she was going to fall, but it was gold.
Anyway, we'll be back next week.
Yeah, so this is Well on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.